Jesus is my living hope. Jesus is my living hope. Let's pray as we close this morning. What would it look like if that was the only message this morning? Some of you would, it's 11:05, be like, wow, we're getting out early today for once. Be pretty excited. Five words. Jesus is my living hope. You know that Jonah's message was five words that he gave to the people? In the Hebrew language, he came in and it was five words. Probably the shortest message ever preached. Sometimes pastors, we get a little long-winded. But Jonah goes in and he uses five words to communicate the message that God told him to give. We've been going through the series called Jonah, God's relentless grace, mercy, and love towards sinners. That grace, mercy, and love we've already seen is shown to a group of sailors that God chooses to save. God's grace, mercy, and love has been shown towards Jonah, who God chose to save from the sea through a whale. And when we left last week, Jonah just been spit out on dry ground, spit out on the shoreline, and he's sitting there in sand, probably not knowing exactly what is next. So let's go to our text this morning, Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says this: Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, we'll read the rest in just a minute. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. This morning I want to talk about how God offers second chances. God offers second chances to people. The sailors on the ship, God gave them a chance. To Jonah, he's giving them this a second chance. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah's being given a second opportunity here. Verse 2, arise, this is God's message to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. God says to Jonah, get up, you're laying there in the sand, get up, go to Nineveh, I'm not done with you yet. I still have a plan for your life. When we're offered second chances, when God gives us these opportunities, we need to be obedient. We need to obey God through these opportunities. God is seeking Jonah's obedience here. We serve a God who is always willing to offer mercy and grace to those who fall. God repeatedly offers mercy and grace to those who fall. Abraham didn't wait for God's plan to happen. He decided the timing wasn't working out all that well. He was getting pretty old in years. He better take matters into his own hands. But what did God do with Abraham? Said he would be a blessing to all peoples and all nations. Moses murdered a man. Then what did God do with Moses? He used Moses as a leader to lead his people out of slavery in the nation of Egypt. David was a man who sinned with Bathsheba. But yet God called him a man after his own heart. All throughout Scripture, we have the prophet Elijah, who decides he just wants to give up. He says, God, just take me. I'm done here. I can't handle this anymore. I'm the only one left. What does God do? He says, hey, Elijah, guess what? I've set aside a bunch of other prophets that will only worship me and will not worship any other gods. You are not alone here. When we get to the New Testament, Jesus tells a story of a man who asked for his father's inheritance and takes that and squanders it away. Call it the story of the prodigal son. He squanders that away. He wastes it away on just stupid things, sinful things, immoral things. He tells his father, basically, by doing that, I just wish you were dead. And then he, when he's at his lowest point, has no food, he has nowhere to live. He's basically become a slave almost, and the pigs are eating better than he is. He realizes, my father's servants are treated better than this, so I will go back and serve my father. And yet, the father takes him back, puts a coat around him, gives him the ring, gives him his inheritance back, and Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That there is grace, and there is mercy, and there is love. You don't have to read too far beyond Jesus when you hear about Peter, who denied Christ. And yet, Jesus comes to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, of course I love you, God. Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Jesus, I love you. Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus welcomes him back in through that dialogue. Grace, mercy, and love shown. God chose to use a man named Saul, who would later be called Paul. God chose to use him, even though he was a man who was traveling around trying to persecute and kill Christians, because he thought that was what God wanted. But Jesus spoke to him one day and said, I'm the one you're persecuting. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to go to all the nations and spread the gospel. We serve a God who offers grace, mercy, and love towards sinners just over and over and over again. God doesn't just offer second chances. He's offering Jonah a second chance here, but how many of us are on our 99th chance? Because God just offers grace and love and mercy. We serve a God who is patient and forgiving in all he does. Verse in Lamentations chapter 3 says this, verses 21 through 23. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They never come to an end. They never cease. God's love and grace and mercy was there before, but for us started in Genesis chapter 1 when he started pouring it into his creation. Pouring into those who were created and have continued ever since. Tomorrow, God's steadfast love is going to be there. Even though it's a Monday, Mondays are rough sometimes. God's steadfast love is going to be there on a Monday. His mercy is going to be new on Tuesday. Great is your faithfulness. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all throughout the year. God offers many opportunities, not just today, but on a daily basis, to choose His ways over our own. When we choose to follow our own ways, when we choose to follow our own desires, we miss out on His blessings. We miss out on the things He wants to do through us. We'll see that in Jonah's life in a couple of weeks. The blessings that Jonah wanted, or God wanted to do through Jonah. See, we miss out on the good things He wants to do through us when we don't obey Him. God wants to do good things through each of us as His children. We miss out on the joy He gives us when we follow Him. So where in your life is God calling you to trust Him over your own desires? Maybe it's your finances. Are you trusting God with what He's giving to you? Maybe it's your relationships. Do you have some relationships that just you're having a hard time with? Maybe it's your time. You're not giving God the time that He deserves. Maybe it's your fill in the blank that you need to be trusting God with rather than trying to take your own desires and trying to use your own wishes to work out what you think would be best. What is God calling you to change in your life, to trust Him with, as He gives you a second opportunity? Verse 2, we read it already. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." I want to point out this morning that second chances have purpose. When God gave Jonah a second chance, He didn't just say, "All right, Jonah, why don't you go back to Joppa, get on a ship again. Go to Tarsus, we'll go through this another time." But how often are we like that? God gives us this second opportunity and we say, "God, thank you for this opportunity," just like Jonah last week. We looked at Jonah, thanked God for saving him, and then we just fall right back into the same trap again. We go back to doing the same habit we've always done. God gives us a second chance not just to go back to the normal. God gives us a second chance with a purpose, to do more with what we have. Jonah's life mattered to God. God could have used anyone to go to Nineveh. Why did He choose Jonah? If God knows all, why would He choose Jonah? He knew what was going to happen. God prepared a fish beforehand because He knew before what was going to happen. Why choose Jonah? Because God cared about Jonah. This is about Jonah getting right with God as much as it is about the sailors getting right with God or the Ninevites getting right with God. And God is putting Jonah in this path to change his heart. The main reason God is doing this is because God is going to receive the glory through it. God is going to receive the glory through what happens. Maybe that sounds selfish that God would just want to give the glory back to Himself, but who is worthy of all praise, worship, and glory? God. God alone. See, He didn't choose Jonah so that Jonah could get the glory. He didn't choose Jonah so that Jonah could say, "Look at me, I'm such a great preacher. Look at what just happened. These sailors, they began worshiping a God that they didn't know 5 minutes before." No, God chose Jonah so that he and he alone could get the glory. Second chances have a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God is working to prepare these things, and I think there are times where we get one shot at something. Sometimes God gives us a second chance to talk with somebody or have a discussion, but I've told you guys stories about driving down the road and opportunities I get to stop, and sometimes I say, "God, no, I don't have time for that. God, I have somewhere to be, sorry." But God has been preparing things beforehand. And what am I saying to God if I say, "God, I don't have time for you right now"? I'm saying, "I know what's best for my life. I want control of this circumstance. I want to do it my way." But God calls us to walk in them. God gives us these second chances with a purpose. God gives us opportunities so that we can follow him and obey him. God had been preparing the people of Nineveh beforehand, before even Jonah came to them. It's not in the Bible here, but we know from several historical records that there had been two severe plagues in the nation of Jonah. They worshipped gods who often would be the gods of growth and things like that. When there's two severe plagues, where's your God now? There had also been an eclipse around the time frame of Jonah coming. It was several years before. Eclipses were a supernatural thing. They didn't really understand them. It was like the sun was taken out of the sky. Many of them worshipped the god of the sun. What if the sun just disappears? Where did your God go? Did he go to sleep? What happened? And so God had been working through some of these supernatural events, I believe, to prepare the hearts of the Ninevites. God was preparing things beforehand. God had a specific message that he wanted Jonah to communicate. It's pretty short, it's pretty sweet. But God is asking for faithfulness from his prophet here. "Jonah, I know you just failed me, but get up and go to the city of Nineveh and call out the message that I'm about to tell you." He's asking for Jonah's faithfulness. "Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to do that." And that's what God calls us to do as well, to faithfully proclaim his message. Faithfully proclaim the words that he gives to us. Sometimes that's a long conversation with a neighbor over weeks and months. Sometimes that's a quick conversation in a store. Sometimes that's a brief word or two you might be able to say to a server as she's coming back and forth from your table. But God calls us to be faithful in proclaiming his words and his message to those around us. Let's finish our text this morning. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. "So Jonah arose." Good job, Jonah. You should have done this back in chapter 1, but you're doing it. "And he went to Nineveh." Hallelujah. He finally decides he's going to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. "Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overturned.'" Five words in the Hebrew. We have a few more here, but 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah's life would have been a lot easier if he had decided in chapter 1, "I'm just going to follow God, I'm going to obey, and I'm going to do what God calls me to do." This book may not have been written if that were the case. It would have been very short. He would have went to Nineveh, they would have been saved, and that would have been the end. But that is not what happened. Verse 3 tells us that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. In my Bible, in the commentaries I read, that phrase there actually is a great city to God. That phraseology, an exceedingly great city, literal translation is a great city to God. I feel like when they translated it, they missed a little bit. Because the importance, as important as Jonah was, the city of Nineveh was important to God too. The city of Nineveh was also important. See, second chances don't just have purpose. Second chances require action. They require Jonah to get up and do something. See, people matter to God. Jonah mattered to God. The Ninevites matter to God. It doesn't matter what race or gender or political affiliation or age or spiritual background or social class or income. God loves all people. See, God sent his son to die on a cross for everyone to have the opportunity to be saved. For his grace and love and mercy at that point to be poured out so that anyone would accept him, who would believe in him, could be saved. Could have a relationship that we were designed for, we were created for, but it was broken because of the sinfulness that had entered back in Genesis chapter 1. Or Genesis chapter 3, I'm sorry. John 3:16, many of us memorize that or can quote that. For God so loved the world. For God so loved creation. For God so loved humanity. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gives this opportunity, and that's his love and grace and mercy that's poured out, and it requires an action. You see, the gospel doesn't have to be an elaborate thing. Jonah used 5 words, and as I said, in a couple weeks, we'll see how the Ninevites respond. And many of you know the Ninevites have a complete 180-degree turn. I was going to say 360, but that would be right back where they were headed. They had a 180. They did a 180, and they went the complete opposite direction. They started believing in God and who he was. There's one word I want to kind of draw out a little bit. Jonah, in his message to the people, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He's just walking along. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. People begin to hear it. People begin to see him. We talked last week a little bit about Jonah's experience inside the large fish. He didn't come out looking the same the way he went in, just so you know. There's some historical records of people who have been swallowed by fish and have lived to tell the tale. They don't ever look the same again. Their skin gets discolored and all sorts of things happen because they've been in this fish for a matter of days. And so Jonah didn't look the same. And I assume when people start hearing him say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned, he got their attention by his looks. Not in a good way. He might have got their attention by his smell. Not in a good way. But he got their attention by his message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned. The word overturned has 2 meanings. One is like Sodom and Gomorrah when God said the city, he was going to destroy the city. That's that same word, overturned. It will be destroyed. The other usage, and that was a little caveat, little side note here. That was probably what Jonah really wanted to have happen. He wanted the city to be destroyed like Sodom was destroyed. That was his hope. But he knew God's love and grace and mercy. The other meaning of that word was for something to be changed or transformed. It's used in the book of Exodus when God tells Moses to pick up his staff and it turns into a snake. The word turns or changes there is the same word we're using here. And so in essence, Jonah the prophet was giving prophecy. Either you're going to be destroyed or you're going to change. Both of them were going to be accurate based on the Ninevites' response. You're going to be destroyed because of your evil, or you're going to change. I'm sure Jonah was trying to emphasize this one. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed, but the word can mean both things. God is specific in the words he tells us to use sometimes. The conversations he asks us to have, he's specific with what he wants us to say. God made a promise there, yet 40 days and you will be changed. You will be overthrown. You will be destroyed. You will be transformed. God was promising there something's going to happen, and it did. Within 40 days, the people had responded. The people had repented. I don't know about you, but there are times when I have difficulty in knowing what to say to people. How do I say something here in this conversation that maybe can have an impact on their life? Or how can I say something here that might help turn our conversation a little bit towards Christ? Sometimes it's easy because people are like, what do you do? I'm a pastor. We're already on the conversation. It just started just like that. But other times it's not that easy. But God calls us to take action. God calls us to preach his word. Whether that's a short, Jesus is my living hope, or whether that's a much longer conversation that needs to be had, God calls us to have a conversation with people about our faith. He calls us to take action. Allow God to use you so that he might receive the glory for himself. A couple questions this morning. First, are you going to take his offer of grace and mercy? God is always offering grace and mercy. Maybe there's something going on in your life, in your heart right now, that you need God's grace and mercy to come in and just flood your life. Maybe it's a change in your heart. Maybe it's a change in your perspective that needs to happen. Second question, are you going to take action today to follow his leading in your life? I don't know where God's calling you or where God wants to use you this week as you go out those doors, but is God calling you to do something specific? Those opportunities we get, I don't know what my week's going to look like, honestly. They're calling for some rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we're going to be in a hotel with a couple little girls. Am I going to have some conversations maybe with some hotel staff? It's quite possible. Sometimes you end up in an elevator with somebody or walking down a sidewalk with somebody. Are there going to be conversations there? Possibly. Just because I'm on vacation doesn't mean I get to turn off my Christianity. It means I still have to be trying to ask God, where do you want me to take action today? Where do you want to lead me today? What conversations do you want me to have today so that I am pleasing you? So that I am bringing you glory, not glory for myself. Look at me and what I said to this person and they got saved. There wouldn't be salvation without him. So you're going to take action today. And that's a decision we have to make every day to follow God's leading. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your love and grace and mercy that is poured out on us on just innumerable measure. God, your sacrifice of sending your son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our wickedness, our sinfulness, so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we could be saved, so that we could spend eternity worshiping and glorifying you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done. Thank you for your ways, because they are much better than our ways. God, help us to follow your ways. Help us to obey your leading in our lives, to worship you, to bring you glory through our conversations, to bring you praise through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.